This is TalkZone.com, Internet Talk Radio.
This is the one they're talking about.
TalkZone.com.
Let's get back to How to Tour Italy on TalkZone.com. Once again, here's your host, Anthony Capozzoli.
I am so sorry about that. I had to change the batteries. I made a very stupid, foolish mistake. I bought batteries from a dollar store here in Italy, thinking, what the hell? They're just batteries. How bad can they be? And they're pretty bad. I think they lasted 7 minutes. So I guess that's another piece of travel advice. Don't buy your batteries at the dollar store. Spend a few more bucks. Go to the pharmacy or the camera store and buy your batteries, because it'll be worth it. You'd be very annoyed if you run out of batteries in your camera or recording device. So with that, where'd I leave off? The tours. Now we have to decide what kind of tours do you want. You got to book the tours and make some choices. So you've got large group tours, which usually means, 20 people or more. You're kind of following the person around with the umbrella, or the little sign. You got the little headset on and you're kind of marching around either in the museum or in the streets. So those are the large group tours. Then we have the small group tours and the walking tours. Those are usually limited to no more than 8 people. So I would lean towards those. That's just the kind of person that I am. I'm not saying the large tours are bad. However, to really dig in and get that one-on-one kind of personal touch, the small group tours are, in my opinion, the way to go. But make your own choice. There's lots of great large group tours available out there, and I'd hate to see you pick something just on my advice alone. So do a little research and choose which one you think is best. Then we have to decide what kind of tours do you want. Do you want overview tours or specialty tours? And what do I mean by that? So, for example, specialty tours. You're going to be dedicated to learning about a particular fresco style or a particular artist or something like that. Or do you want just the walking tours to kind of give you a lay of the land, a bit of an overview? So specialty versus kind of overview. Large group versus small group. So with that being said, I do want to point out a couple of ones that I would recommend that I've thoroughly enjoyed here on the How to Tour Italy project. Now, in Rome, Eden Walks, spectacular tours of the Vatican Museum. You will be extraordinarily pleased with the tour. Grant and team at Eden Walks do such a wonderful job. You can't go wrong. If you're going to the Vatican and you want to do a guided tour, they are the way to go. They're phenomenal. Highly recommended. They also have another great tour in Rome called Rome at Sunset. Great time. You'll walk through and buy and enjoy all the best sights of Rome at sunset. There really isn't a better picture-taking time in Rome. The team in Eden Walks does a phenomenal job as well, so I highly recommend them. Also in Rome, Vino Roma, a wonderful way to embrace and dive into one of the most spectacular things to do when you're here in Italy, which is tasting wine. Vino Roma and Hand, who owns Vino Roma, who is the sommelier that runs the show over there, does just a great job. She's got a wonderful place and a wonderful apartment near the Tiber in Rome. Very easy access walking to from the center of Rome. You can't miss it. She does a great job. I thoroughly enjoyed every minute of my time there. I did a dedicated podcast. In fact, there are podcasts with Grant from Eden Walks and podcast with Hand of Vino Roma. You can dive in and see for yourself if you like them, but I'm guessing that you will. They're so great. And if you're going to be in Rome, those are two things you should for sure do. A Vatican tour with Grant, Rome at sunset with Grant, both of Eden Walks, of course. And then finally, check out Hand and Vino Roma. You will be very happy that you did. Her wine tasting is spectacular for the beginner, for the intermediate, or for the advanced wine lover, if you will. And she's able to kind of mix and match. Even if you have someone very basic in the class and someone at an advanced level, she does a wonderful job of making sure that she's able to speak directly to your palate and help you embrace wine at such a wonderful level. So two great things that you should do in Rome. In Florence and in Siena, How to Tour Italy, that'd be me, have some really cool walking tours. We've got lots of stuff. I've got something called Streets of Florence, which is an overview of the wonderful city of Florence. You walk by some of the best, rather all of the best sites here and dive in. You get a great overview, Ponte Vecchio, Piazza Signoria, Palazzo Vecchio, the Bargello, all these great things. So, and it's a great way to go. If you're here for one day and you want to take in Florence, you're here for a cruise and you only have one day, the Streets of Florence is a great way to go. You can do it during the day or at night. I've got dedicated tours at the Uffizi to see the David at the Academia. I've got a Michelangelo tour. So, and then I also think I'm very, very happy now to announce we have Arno boat tours, which are spectacular. You can check them out. Check out all these tours on howtotouritaly.com on the tours tab, rather. Very good stuff. Now, we also have wine tastings and things. We have wine tastings right here in the city. We have a wine, cheese, and olive oil tasting. We have a market tour. We have market tour with cooking lessons. So some very, very cool things to do here in Florence with How to Tour Italy. That would be me. So definitely check that out. And when you book and make arrangements for all of that, you work directly with me at ajc@howtotouritaly.com. And I help you pick the dates that you want, arrange it all to make sure that you get exactly the tour that you want. And if something that you want isn't on the website, let me know, because we can arrange custom tours if you want to taste or go to a particular vineyard, or if you want to go and study a particular kind of fresco or whatever you want, I can help you do that with all of the wonderful, wonderful experts and academics that we have now in the How to Tour Italy network. So please check it out and let me know what you think. The other thing to check out, cooking classes. Do you want to take a dedicated cooking vacation, yes or no? Or do you want to do day trips? If you want to do a dedicated cooking vacation, I recommend these two companies. The International Kitchen does a spectacular job of putting together dedicated cooking vacations for you. And there's a company called Cooking Vacations, and they're all the way down in Positano. And they're wonderful, too, and it's very easy to get to Positano. And Positano is a spectacular city. One of my favorite restaurants in the whole of Italy is down there called La Tagliata. So you can't go wrong with either Cooking Vacations or the International Kitchen, both of which are wonderful for that special touch. And if you are looking for a culinary experience, a dedicated culinary experience here in Italy. Now, if you want just a day class, International Kitchen has day classes you can take advantage of. And then How to Tour Italy. I have day classes now as well. So you can do a market tour with a dedicated cooking class at your apartment or villa or at a restaurant here in Florence if you're staying at a hotel. We also have pizza making classes for kids, all kinds of great stuff. In fact, we even have a shopping tour. So if you are kind of a shopper and you like to go look at all the wonderful boutiques and all of the fantastic, designs that they have here in Italy, we have dedicated, shopping tours here as well. And further, if you need to get from A to B or from the port to Florence or the port to Rome, let me know, because I've got some arrangements with some, car companies to do exactly that, very good and very reliable car companies, so that you can get from A to B and not have a problem doing so. But I'm going to have a dedicated segment on all the great tours and things that are available here, I think next week. So I'm not going to go too much further than that with kind of the tours that are available with howtotouritaly.com. Now, agriturismo is another big, big movement here in Italy, so you can actually roll up your sleeves and dig in to harvest the olives, make the olive oil, harvest the grapes, make wine, all kinds of great things, and there are so many to choose from. I'm still going through it myself and experiencing them firsthand, and I will report back probably around October, actually, on the best agriturismos to choose from, because, you know, right now things are growing and there's not too much of that going on, but in the fall, you can kind of roll up your sleeves and dive right into the harvest seasons. And there's some really cool ones out there, and I got some great stuff lined up. So please listen to the show, and I'm guessing sometime in September, October, we'll be doing some of that stuff. Then day trips. Day trips from Rome, day trips from Florence, day trips from Venice. Lots of great things to see. There are day trips even with How to Tour Italy. You can do day trips from Florence to Siena, the hill towns, do lunch and wine tastings, visit the vineyards, all kinds of great stuff. There are day trips outside of Rome that you can do. You can go to Hadrian's Villa. You can go down if you want to. It's a little bit more dedicated, but you can do a day trip to Naples. You can do a day trip to Pompeii. You can do a day trip to Herculaneum. So there's lots of stuff you can do. Day trips are a great way to go if you're staying in an apartment or villa. Day trips are fantastic because you just throw a little backpack on and off you go for the day. It's a long day, but it's still a great way to go because you get to call something home instead of, you know, lugging your luggage around the train stations going from city to city all the time. So day trips are spectacular, fun, and easy ways to get around. And many of the day trips that are organized will have car services that pick you up and drop you off. So they're almost mindless anymore and very, very affordable. So make sure you check them out. HowToTourItaly.com has got a great list, and there's lots of other day trips that you can look into. The church bells at Santa Croce are going in the background. I love that. Food and wine. I want to talk a little bit about some of the best food and wine that is available, or at least how to pick them. One, anything that you see, any menus that you see that have pictures, avoid. It's typically in a tourist spot. It typically means that the quality of the food is going to be less than you probably would like it. So pictures of the menu equals don't eat there. The other thing, if you see misters in the fan or misters in the cover of the tent, if you will, that are kind of, you know, covering the tables and chairs, avoid it. That usually means it's going to be very, very expensive. Equate that with somebody poolside spraying you down with misters of Evian or bottled water or something like that. unnecessary and very expensive, usually. So those are some things. If they're advertising an American breakfast, come here for your American breakfast, that usually means the food quality is less, and it's going to be a little bit more expensive. So just keep in mind that that's happening. So those are three things. Avoid menus with pictures, avoid the misters, and anything advertising the American breakfast. Again, and once again, you're in Italy for 2 weeks. Dive into the Italian breakfast. It's wonderful. It's very light. It's very clean. It's very easy. American breakfast here in Italy aren't very good anyway. I have tried it just to say that I've tried it, just to kind of report back on it, and I haven't found any that I've liked so far. Only, you know, typically Americans make the best American breakfast. So, you know, why go out of your way to find a place that serves American breakfast? I don't want to harp on that too much. Now, pizza. Where to get pizza? Naples has probably the best pizza in Italy. I would argue it does have the best pizza. The three types of pizza that you will find at truly quality Neapolitan pizza places, whether that's in Naples itself or anywhere else in Italy, are the margherita pizza, pizza marinara, which is just red sauce, or pizza napolitano. Those are the big three. I'm going to throw a fourth one in there because I love it. It's called Diavola. It's just a spicy or picante pizza. Those are my four faves. I always default to one of those four. I'm either torn between the Neapolitan or the Napolitano or the Diavola, typically. So those are the things to look out. And those are also great, great ways to save a little bit of money. You can either get your own personal pizza, if you will, here, or get pizza by the slice. Those are great ways to save a bit of dough. Gelato clues. How to know you're getting good gelato. If it is an overwhelming abundance of gelato in a bucket with like wedges of the fruit jammed into it and all this big decor and this whole big show, walk right past it. It's not artisan gelato because they would never waste gelato just to build up a decoration, the artisans here in Italy. So if you can see it, it looks too pretty. It probably is too pretty, and move past it. My best advice to you is to listen to my in-situ tour, the walking tour that I put together for gelato, chocolate, and panini here in Florence. Give away lots of good tips and guidelines about how to find the best gelato. But typically, it's just going to be in a very nondescript serving container, and they're usually, they don't make a big fuss about it, but they have the best places. Go on in, try some different flavors out, try four or five and pick the one that you like the most. This is your vacation, but the key, I guess the biggest clue for gelato is simple service, simple container, and you'll be good to go. The wine, house wine or not, I'm sorry, hand, but I'm going to say house wine in this case. Let's save the better tasting for you, or with the kind of the wine, cheese, and olive oil tasting with How to Tour Italy. But I always usually get a half liter of the white wine for dinner. I love the white wine. It's great. It's cheap. It's fantastic. It goes with pretty much everything. So house wine for dinner. You can always spend, if you have a nicer meal, of course, spend a little bit more money, and you can buy you know, a bottle of wine, but the carafe of the house wine is usually pretty cool. Now, languages. What do you want to, you know, do you want to learn how to speak Italian, or do you want to just learn enough to get by? I say, I'll tell you, if you're coming here for vacation, learn enough to get by. All you have to learn is, you know, hello, good morning, good afternoon, good night, thank you, I'm allergic to shellfish, where's the bathroom, things like that. The Learn Italian podcasts on iTunes are spectacular for that. They do a great job. They've got dedicated podcasts for travelers. You can't go wrong. In fact, I'm even putting together something in the How to Tour Italy network for like Italian for travelers, where you have, you know, you sit down for 2 hours at a cafe and you learn some Italian from a native speaker who speaks perfect English. It's a wonderful way to go. If you don't want to do that, you really can't go wrong with the wonderful podcast options that are out there to learn some Italian. It's a great, great way to go. And the other cool thing about all those cool podcasts, not only, you know, the Learn Italian and the different podcasts that are available, the How to Tour Italy podcast, you know, Learn Italian podcast, there's Italy from the Inside, there's lots of really good stuff, iKangaroo. So check out all those great podcasts, download them all, and on the flight over, read your guidebooks, learn a little Italian with the podcast. Listen to some of the podcasts that are available so that you can, believe me, it will, the time on the flight will go by in a snap because you're kind of learning and engaged the whole time. It's a great way to go. Go to sleep, wake up, you have a little bit of dinner, go back to sleep or listen to a podcast, and before you know it, you're here in Italy. And then when you are here, you've got these great podcasts available, at your fingertip. So you're going to be happy that you did so. Now, I guess on the backside of that, make sure that you buy your power converters so that you can plug in your iPod and stuff to keep everything charged up. And also I did buy something pretty cool. It plugs into the charger or the power source on the airplane, and then right there you can plug a regular cord in, or you can plug your iPod in your laptop, so everything stays charged with on the flight over here, because you do have a long flight, so you may as well have all the power that you need. So there's lots of good options, but make sure you buy your power converters. Download all the podcasts that you can. I would say just search on the term Italy and pick a handful and go with those, because there's so many great ones that it'd be a real shame not to have more than you need. Because I care more about your vacation than my status and rankings, I'm going to say download 4, 5, or 6 different kinds of podcasts for travel to Italy, because you really are going to be happy that you did, because everyone's got a different perspective and a different opinion and maybe a little tip or something that you didn't think of or I didn't think of. So take full advantage of all the great resources that are available on iTunes. You'll be happy that you did so. Rounding up near the end here, you're going to build your itinerary. You're going to put it on paper in a spreadsheet or in a graph. I have examples on howtotouritaly.com. Check it out. And what I mean by that is you're going to chart out your day. We're not going to get too crazy about it because this is a vacation, but you do want to know travel days, and you're going to mark travel days with a bit of a red color. You're going to put, is it going to be by train, by car, by boats, or whatever. You're going to put the flight number or the train number on there, the departure time, the departure city, and the arrival city, so that you know that from like 12 in the afternoon till 4 in the afternoon, I'm going to be on the train and traveling. So during that time, you read a book, hang out, listen to a podcast, but you know that you're traveling. Then you can also put in color, like blue, all of the hotel reservations and information that you need, the city that you'll be staying in, the name of the hotel, the address, the reservation number, an email and a phone number to reach in case someone isn't there, or you need a little help, or you get lost, so you can have all the details that you need. And then you're also going to have a different color noting the times for the museums that you're going to be visiting with the reservation number, so that you know that you're supposed to be at the Borghese Gallery at 3:00 in the afternoon on Thursday. You have all this information at your fingertips, everything that you need. Then you're also going to go a little bit further than that, and you're going to put information about banking numbers. I need to know what the number to reach Citibank is, or Bank of America, or whatever the case is, in case, God forbid, I lose my credit card, or I need them to ship me a new one, or something happens, because sometimes when you're over here, they just cut off service to credit cards because I think something fraudulent's going on, even if you have called them. So you need a way to reach back out to them and say, hey, look, I'm here in Italy, this is me using the card, turn it back on. So you just want to make sure that you think a little bit ahead about how to recover from any bad happenings, and a good way to do that is to keep a nice list of an itinerary with all the details that you need, noting travel days, reservations for hotels and museums. Okay, getting near the end here. We're going to confirm everything. What flights are we going to be on? Confirm. Hotels or apartments or villas that I've rented? Going to confirm. Any tours that I've booked? I'm going to confirm. So when I get there, I know everything is active and ready to go, and everything's going to go perfectly smoothly. Barring in mind that you're probably going to run into a few hiccups along the way, but it's vacation, it's Italy, it's okay. Hit the cafe, grab some wine, enjoy it, because it's going to be, believe me, this is always going to be one of your best vacations of life. So with that, I'm going to quickly review everything again, and then we're going to close. And I'm sorry I'm talking a mile a minute, but everything is going to be in written format on howtotouritaly.com on the blog page. So go to howtotouritaly.com, go to the blog, and on the blog is going to be this entire segment in writing so that you can kind of review everything that you need along with samples to the itinerary and different things that we talked about. So, in short, what dates are we coming? What time of year are we coming? What flights are we going to be on? What cities are we going to be flying into and out of? What cities are we going to visit, and in what order? Where am I going to be staying? Am I staying in a hotel? Am I staying in an apartment? Or am I staying in a villa? If so, where and what cities? And then in what neighborhoods in those particular cities? Finally, getting around. Are we going to take a train? Are we going to be getting around by car, or a mix of both? Do we have directions? One thing I forgot to say in the car segment before, if you are going to be driving, do yourself a favor. Make sure that you have directions on how to return the car, because like I mentioned before, it's like trying to find the Batcave, and it's tough. And the other thing is, spend more money than you think you should on a great atlas that has explicit, detailed maps and directions to get around, not just in Rome, not just in Florence, but how to get from Rome to Florence by car. You will be very, very, very happy that you did. And do yourself a favor, try to reserve, if you can, if one's available, a GPS system from the car rental agency. If they have them, you can get one. Even if you haven't, it's always a good idea to have a nice atlas available just as a backup, because like I said, you need a Maverick driving, you need a Goose as a navigator, and it will go a long way to keeping smiles on your faces. Believe me, good atlas is the way to go. Okay, now moving on. Guidebooks. Which guidebooks should I buy? How many should I buy? I say buy lots. Don't just buy the ones that are on the shelf at Barnes & Noble. Go the extra mile. Hit up Amazon. Talk to your friends. Go to howtotouritaly.com. Check out what else is out there. Look around. Get some advice. You can usually, with these smaller authors, you have direct access to them. I know my friend Ruth for Venice would be more than happy to take an email from anyone with any questions or clarifications that you might need. I am always happy to answer any questions that you might have about Rome, Florence, or Venice, or Siena. So please hit me up via email as often as you want, and that's kind of one of the one-on-one touch that you get with some of the smaller, lesser-known authors that are out there that aren't on the shelves at Barnes & Noble. So do yourself a favor. Check out more than you think you need to. Buy more than you think you need to, and you'll be happy that you did. Just because it's not on the shelf at Barnes & Noble doesn't mean it's not fantastic. Okay, I'm going to beat a dead horse here. Make your reservations at these five museums. One, Da Vinci's Last Supper in Milan. Two, the Uffizi here in Florence. Three, the David here in Florence. Four, you don't have to make a reservation, but only visit the Vatican Museums in the afternoon after 2:30. You will avoid the line, walk right in. Be sure to double-check the time and the date, just the date to make sure the Vatican Museums are open. And then finally, the Borghese Gallery. Make a reservation to get into and visit the Borghese Gallery. It is phenomenal, especially for any Bernini or Caravaggio buffs out there. Okay, tours, large group tours, small group tours, and walking tours, and then cooking vacations. What do we want? So decide what kind of tour you want and make any selections that you need to. And then if you want to do a culinary experience, choose between the International Kitchen or cooking vacations, and off you go. Those are great ways to spend the time. And then, of course, how to tour Italy. I've got cooking classes and things available now, how to make pizza, all kinds of great stuff. So those are some things you need to do, the tours that you're going to be taking. And then day trips. What day trips from what cities will I be taking? What do I care about? I care about wine, I care about cheese, I care about olive oil, I care about some wonderful historical sites, things like Pompeii, Herculaneum, how do they make mozzarella, all kinds of great stuff. There are so many day trips out there that are so worth it that it's a real shame not to investigate them. Don't spend all of your time in just Rome, Florence, Venice, and Siena. As beautiful as they are, as wonderful as those cities are, some of these smaller little day trips will really put the cherry on top of everything that you do here. A friend of mine at Discover Soriano often says vacations are what happens between destinations. So what he means by that is vacation is the whole experience, not just what happens in Rome and or in Florence. I mean, it's what happens in between. And some of the things that you remember very often will happen in some of these smaller towns, smaller cities, and these great restaurants and these cooking classes that you'll take. So dive into all that stuff. Food and wine, where to eat, what to eat. Eat regionally, drink wine regionally, stay away from things with pictures on the menu, stay away from things with misters in the fans or overhead. You don't need the misters, just like you don't need the person spraying Evian on you at poolside. I've only seen them happen once or twice, and I remember paying way too much for it. And then eat where the locals eat. Ask the taxi drivers, ask the bartenders, ask them where they're going to go for dinner, and go there. Check out howtotouritaly.com for some great tips on restaurants. Off the top of my head, in Rome, I highly recommend the Jewish ghetto. In Florence, I recommend a number of restaurants that I'll have on howtotouritaly.com. And in Venice, buy the book Ciao Venice and eat where Ruth tells you to do so. You'll be happy that you did. Then the language tips. Where do I learn the languages? You learn them on podcasts, on iTunes. They're all free. Great way to go. You can also take a class. I'm putting together something on how to tour Italy. You can take a couple-hour lesson, Italy for travelers. But the podcasts really, at the end of the day, are spectacular. Learn Italian Podcast on iTunes is phenomenal. I say go with them. You'll be very, very happy that you did. And other podcasts like not only how to tour Italy, but take a look at Italy from the Inside. Take a look at iKangaroo. Great, great stuff. So much great information out there. It's spectacular. And there's other ones out there that are more popular, but those are some great ones. Check them all out. Download more podcasts than you think you need. Better to have them and not use them than need them and not have them, my advice. Then double check. We're going to put your whole itinerary in writing. Look at howtotouritaly.com for samples of what I've done and how I've created some itineraries in the past and some color coding that I've created. Not I've created, but that I've used in the past. It's a great way to go. And then finally, confirm everything. You will be happy that you did. And with that, the church bells are going once again at Santa Croce, which is one of my favorite things here in Italy, are just the church bells. I do love it so. I'm going to jump in the shower. I'm going to have a wonderful dinner at a wonderful pizza place here in Florence. Of course, it's Neapolitan pizza, and I'm going with Pizza Napolitano. And with that, ciao, good travels, and feed your soul. Ciao.